You got them up from the back row? Very good, Amanda. And if Lauren comes in and sits in this row, then we'll really... Okay, so again, bring up Oracle so that you can go in and do these. And I'm apparently using something called Donor New. I just put donor up there, so I'm going to say create table donor new as select asterisk from donor. Okay, so now I have donor new. So we're going to start out by going back and looking a little bit more at the if statements. And I just wanted to have donor new in case I wanted to try one up there. But again, what I have to have is I have to have the begin part and the end. I am using the declare here because I'm declaring some variables. So I set them up again, and I called my variables V underscore ID number. And I started doing that with a lot of the examples, putting the V underscore to kind of tell me it was a variable I set up. So I've got V underscore ID number, and then I've got varchar2 for 5 characters. And down below... Okay, I forgot to put that up, and I forgot to do that. So, how can I be here for 15 minutes and have forgotten those two? But I managed to.
The if statements?
The if statements, yep. Back to them now. If you scroll down to the bottom example, I believe it is, I have the same general kind of thing, and we'll look at it in a minute, but the thing I want to point out again is this line right here where I am saying donorNew.id number percent sign type. And as I mentioned last time, that is just really nice. You're good, Amanda. She moved the two of you from the back row to the second row.
Stop it.
They said it couldn't be done. But anyway, so what I've got here is instead of giving a varchar or something like that definition, I'm saying go to the donor new, find the type that has been assigned to ID number, and use that type here. So what that means is if I decide to go to the table and expand the size for some reason, you know, I thought I had enough characters in my item number, but I'm carrying a lot more products, so I want to add a character to my item number. Or what the college did, we used to have 2-digit numbers, and now we have 3-digit numbers. Okay, so they had to go in and change everything from a 5-character to a 6-character or whatever. And so this means that I would go to donor new, pick up their ID and put it in the type. And so it will stay variable. It will match with the file, and I won't have to go in and maintain all of the different files or tables. file and table are really pretty interchangeable words. So, that beats, as far as I'm concerned, saying the bear care 2-5 here, because I then go and take the type out of the table. Okay, then I'm using an assignment, and I'm assigning what is entered by the user, and the ampersand there is the prompt to take something in for the user. So what I'm doing there is taking in something from the user, and I am ending up storing that in the BID number. Okay? And you can see down below, when I run this, this is called donor zero. When I run donor zero, I said enter the value 12121, and it then processed for record 12121. Okay. Then I set up a variable year goal, and I gave that number 7,2. And again, since that was coming off the table, it would have been a lot better, instead of putting number there, to put donor new and the name of the field, dot the name of the field, and the type. So I've set up my two variables, and now I'm going in specifically looking for whatever record they tell me to look for, the user tells me to look for, when they enter that in. Okay, so the first thing that happens is that number comes in, and then I go in and say, okay, now select year goal, put it into V year goal, from the donor new table, where the ID is equal to the ID that the user entered in. Okay? And then, once I've got the number, I'm testing it, and I'm saying if the goal is greater than 250, then do something. There's no else on this one, so if it's not greater than 250, it does nothing. I end the if, and then I go and I do the update. So I've basically got in here two regular SQL statements. I've got a select and I've got an update. But in between, I've also got the ability to now put in an if statement. And so I have put in an if statement and said, this is the what I want to measure. Okay, because I am taking in the input ID number, I am setting verify off and then resetting it on when I'm done. And the reason I'm setting it off is so I won't get that old new stuff. You know, when you take in user input, you get the old and you get the new line. And if you don't mind those, that's fine. I just decided I didn't want them. So I set verify off and then I set verify back on. But if I didn't do that, all the difference would be is that I would see that old and new when I ask the user to enter in the number. Okay. So, if you take this code, and I think you did this last time, but go ahead and try again if you want to. So I'm going to say edit donor zero, and let's see if I actually have one. And it's actually already there. Okay, so I obviously must have done this at some other point. So there's donor, actually, I also added the else into it. So since I'm not really into copying, we will look at the else. And actually, the else is the next example down. So there is the else. Okay. So I have all of that information set up, and I'm using donor new, and I made a copy of donor and saved it as donor new before we started talking, so I'm all set. Okay. And my update is updating the year goal on the table with the B year goal that I have up there, and the ID with the BID, and you can see that I changed those to have the donor new. So I went in and did some modification on this, And instead of having the VeraCare 2-5, you can see that I have the donor new ID number type. And instead of having the number 7,2, I have the donor new year goal type. And hopefully this will work. So I'm going to do a file exit because I didn't change anything. And down here, I'm going to do the @ donor 0. And it says enter the value for the ID. And I will do 11111 this time. And the procedure is complete. Okay. Now, do I actually know what 111 had in it when I went in? Yes, apparently it had the 500, so my thing should be all right. And the goal for that person was a 500-year goal. Okay. So I am now going to say select asterisks from donor new. And I can see that Stephen Daniels got changed to a 550. Okay. So there he is. He's up to a 550, and he was originally at a 500.
So the beginning and the end, say you're going to use PL SQL?
Say that again.
In your PL SQL, you have a begin statement?
Yes.
And an end?
And those are required. And then the declare is optional. It depends on whether you have anything to declare. There's not often when the declare isn't used because, think of it, you almost always are declaring variables. And then there's an exception part, which we haven't got into yet, which lets us find errors in the data. Okay. So again, if I edit donor 0, this is what I got. And when I ran it, that's what I got. Okay. So donor 0 had started out with 500. When I ran it, I had a 10% because 500 is greater than 250, and so it worked. Okay. So I have the set verify off, the declare, which includes the ID number and all that. Take in a user record. I'm looking for a single record. And then I am doing an update. And the if part is the part that is why we're using PLSQL. Okay, the select I could have done, and I could have put the calculation in the select. So I could have said do the calculation, you know, up the year goal by. But what I couldn't do is the if statement unless I use the decode. And if I use the decode, I can probably pull it together. Questions. Okay. So if you come down here and let's see, I have the if and then the if else, and that's the if else. And then if you go down one more, I have the nested if else. So I have an if it's greater than 300. Do that, else if it's greater than 200, do that, else if it's greater than 100, do that, else default is the multiply by 1.05. And then I ended all the ifs. So this is a real standard nested if statement. I need to do that called orient. I think I actually drew the flowchart last Friday anyway, if I recall. Okay. I'm going to orient it. How this gets unoriented, I can't quite figure out. Okay, and then going down a little further, I have got one where I've got an ELSIF. Okay? And this is the structure where I'm saying, if your goal is less than 100, do this. ELSIF. And notice the ELSIF does not have the E with the ELSE.
What do you mean?
Look at the spelling of ELSIF.
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's lost the E of ELSE. So it's one word, ELSIF, and I guarantee you, you'll all type that wrong at least once if you try to do it. Because I don't think I've ever tried to type that without typing it wrong. Okay. So ELSIF is ELSIF. Whatever. This is the case structure. So this is similar to the case structure that you see in other languages. And notice there's only one end if. Where when I did the standard if, and then an if inside, and then an if inside, they all had their own end ifs. With the case structure, I just have one. So I'm saying, if this is true, else if, and I put the next condition, and then I have an else as the default. Okay, so that's the case structure that can be used with this. And in all of them, I am taking in an ID number and I'm doing the calculation. And this time I used another variable in doing the calculation. So I said, new goal, assign it to new goal. B underscore new goal. Whereas in the ones up above, so if you go back up above, I was assigning it back to V year goal. And it's six of one, half dozen of another, whatever you want to do. But back in the previous one, I assigned things to V year goal. Now I'm assigning it to new goal. Okay, and again, doesn't matter what you do, you're just doing it slightly differently. But since I'm now using the new goal, I come up here and define it as well in the variable section. And then the last one is where we looked at already, where I went in and changed donor new, changed the type to donor new dot type, donor new ID dot type, year goal dot type. And for both of the year goal and the new year goal, I used year goal type. Now, if I was doing something radical to new goal and I thought that it was going to be significantly bigger than year goal, then I would have to define it with a number to get it the size that I wanted. But if I think it's going to be the same size as the original year goal, I can just say make it that type. But when you're doing a new variable, lots of times you do want to give it its own size and make the size bigger for some reason. So now I have all of the if statements in there. But again, I'm acting on one record. When we want to start acting on a load of records, we're going to start using curses. And I don't know whether we'll get to that Thursday or not. We'll see how we do. But we'll definitely get to it by next Tuesday. Questions? Yeah.
I'm trying to figure out a way to display the value of your goal after the command there. When you execute it, to see, like, you know, okay, it's now 550 or whatever.
You'd use that DBMS line.
DBMS.
If you go back, and it's the one I told you that I always have to look at, I have this absolute aversion to whatever that line is. I think of it as the DBMS line. If you go to Introduction PLSQL, and again, in answer to your question, the declare, the begin is required, exception is optional, end is required. So if I go down here, and the first day we looked at this, there's the DBMS line. So, if you say set server output on, which you have to do if you're using it, then you can say DBMS underscore output dot put underscore line. And as I said, I have some kind of a mental aversion to memorizing that line, so I always have to look at it. I don't want those, I don't think I want the underscore in the put line is where I think I don't want it. But if you want to report stuff as you're going along, that's how you can do it. Okay? DBMS underscore output dot put underscore line. And you want to set server output on and set server output off. So if we go back into the one we wrote and say edit donor zero, okay, so now I can come in here and add one more thing where I'm going to say set server output on, and after I'm done, I'm going to set server output off, and then at some point, and I actually don't know why I have the commit in there twice, but that's all right. What that one is doing there, but anyway. Okay, so now we will say DBMS output dot put underscore line, and then in parenthesis, whatever it is you want to see. So, for example, new year goal, and then the two pipes, and then V year goal. So I am writing the line there. Okay. I think I spelled everything right. We will find out. File save. And as I've said before, when you're writing PLSQL, I would make a copy of anything you write and just keep it on your flash drive or keep it on your hard drive or something on that order. Because if you're moving from computer to computer, it's a lot easier. Okay, so now I think we've got that set up. So I'll do a file exit. And when I run this, enter the value, and we'll go with 12121. Ooh.
Yeah, I got the same thing.
Okay, so yes, we have a couple of problems here someplace. Encountered the symbol when expecting one of the following. Okay, so edit Donor zero. Okay, so what did we do wrong? I didn't put the closed parenthesis in. That's because you were copying me. File save. Let's hope that that was all I did wrong. Okay. @ donor zero. Enter value 12121. Procedure complete. And it now tells me that the new year goal is 440. Okay. So that's a good debugging kind of thing. I'm going to bring it up, edit, donor zero, and then we can see this and that at the same time. And there's my parenthesis in. It really got carried away over that lack of parenthesis. So you can see that it comes out and it shows this. Now, the argument is that usually you're not just going in for one record, and usually there's curses involved and a whole lot of things involved, and you don't want to generate a lot of that output. But if you want to see it, that's how you can get output to come out. But if you're processing with a cursor and you're processing 10,000 records, you don't want to see the results from the 10,000 records. Questions. I hear a lot of typing going on.
I'm catching up.
I'm just moving my DBMS command. I had it below the update. I thought that I needed to do it after, but then I realized it doesn't matter because calculation is done above, so
that's right. It just had to happen after the calculation.
Yeah.
Because what I was printing out was the variable. I wasn't, the variable has already received the answer. And if you were using New Year Goal, then I could print New Year Goal over there, and that would give it to me. Okay? So, there we have the way to see it as you're going along. And getting the PLSQL procedure successfully completed, you get to a point where you're just so delighted to see that. moving on. Okay, we're in PLSQL, just finishing up if statements. Okay. Questions? Okay, and I think that actually is finishing up. Oh, I'm back to the first one. I was going to say that does not look like what I was looking at. That. No, that's it. Okay, so now we're going to move on to the next one, which is more on PLSQL if statements.
Can we go back to...
Yes. Where?
The introduction to PLSQL.
Yep.
And only the... You have...
I skipped a whole lot of this, you know.
Yeah. A third of the way down, it says begin, and it has a colon B message, colon equals with the message.
Wait a minute.
What is the colon before the variable?
Yeah, that's all the stuff that I skipped, because that had not been defined yet. It says the line right up above it. The colon V message inside the begin is necessary because V message was declared externally rather than within the block. And as I said, we really are going to come back to this.
Oh.
But up here, I declared variable V message. So I didn't declare it within the PLSQL.
Okay.
I declared it externally. And so then when I got into the PLSQL, I had to say the colon there to tell it that it wasn't declared locally, but was declared externally.
Okay. And they can find it.
Yep.
Okay.
So that's what that's for. Yeah, we'll come back to all this. There's a whole lot of kind of neat things in here, but they're not the basic things. They're kind of extra added attractions. And as I said, I set these up in the order that Oracle teaches the course.
Okay.
And then after teaching it, I decided, nah, I don't like that order. So we'll go back and look at it because they're all neat things to know. But how often do you declare the variable externally? Not very often. And it's a lot of stuff like that. Okay, so coming in here, I'm on more on if statements. So it's the next handout, more on PLSQL if statements. Okay. Now this one I'm taking in multiple things. So I am setting up an ID number, a year goal, new goal, and a state. And when I go in, I am taking and putting both the year goal and the state into the variable areas. So I'm saying select year goal into B year goal, state into B state. Okay? Where the ID number is equal to the ID number that I keyed in. So now I'm getting into the whole idea of nesting with multiple things going on. Okay? So, if you come down and look at the logic here, I'm starting out and saying I want mass. And if it's mass, I'm saying the year goal has to be greater than 300. Okay? And if it is, then it's a 1.3 that I'm using. Else, I'm asking, is the year goal greater than 100? If the answer is yes, I've got a 1.2. Otherwise, I have a 1.1. Then I'm ending this if, and I am ending the 300 if. So I've got two endings there. And then I've got an else where I'm asking, is it Rhode Island? And if it's Rhode Island, then I want to know if it's greater than 250. And if so, I'm doing a 1.25. And if it's not, whoops, not there, then that is a 250. Then I'm doing a 1.15. I am ending this if, and the else is basically keeping it the same. And then I end that if, and I end the entire if. I think I got it right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay. So that's what's going on there. And basically, I'm just using the elses and the end ifs the way you would use in any language when you're using basic elses and end ifs. The next one, looking down, is an and. So it's just pointing out to you that you can have a and relationship like you can in any language. So I've got if year goal, B year goal is greater than 250 and the state is mass, then do this. and it's the same structure as you find in any language. And you've all had some programming, right? Mm-hmm. Yes? Okay. So, it's the same structure that you find in any programming language. And then if you scroll down a little bit more, you get into the OR. Okay, so I've got the fact that I can have an OR as well. Okay. And then Lauren is going to explain the next one to us.
Yeah. Why?
Because I sent it back to you recently.
Oh, God. A is before
ORs. Okay. What we have here is state equals Massachusetts and what do the parentheses mean?
Do that first.
Get resolved before.
That's right. So ands get resolved before ORs, but I want the ORs to be resolved. So they have to be inside the parentheses. So I'm saying state equals mass. That has to be true. And then either of the other two things. So I've got state equals MA. That has to be true. And then I'm saying if I have less than 100, okay, then what am I doing? 1.1. If it's not less than 100, then I have another possibility where it's greater than 01 Jan 98. And if that's true, then I am doing the 1.1. And if it's not, okay, then I am going to get out and do what? Nothing, just the same. And then I've got the same here. Okay. So I've got the Massachusetts has to be true. If not, I'm out of here, and I'm doing the else. If Massachusetts is true, then I also need either the year goal less than 100 or the date greater than January. If either of those are true, I'm happy and I get a 1.1. If neither of those is true, I keep the else. I go to the else. Okay? So, if I don't have the parenthesis, how does this get resolved? What is the interpretation if I don't have the parenthesis?
The state equals mass and the year goal is less than 100 first.
Yep.
Then the OR.
That's right. So the two things around the and get grouped and the OR stands alone. Okay. That's one of your pet problems.
It's been years.
Huh?
It's been for years.
Okay, so without the parenthesis, these two get grouped, and then the OR stands alone. Okay. Because ands get resolved before ORs. Yes.
I've heard the statement an and in front of a or because of not, but I've never seen that in action in coding before. So
an and before an or becomes a not.
Yeah, that's the Morgan's law.
Okay.
So, but I've never seen that in action. Like, I've never seen that in coding at all.
Okay. I got to think about that. An and before an or. Because this one has an and before an or.
Yeah, that, like, you get the first half of this and you got mass and your gold is less than 100. So if it's not that, it would be, I guess, I don't completely understand it myself.
Yeah, and I'm not understanding what you're saying. What did you say? It was Morgan's Law?
The Morgan's Law.
Send me an email, and I will try to look it up and then figure it out.
Okay?
If it's not those two, then it's the other.
Yeah, that's the only thing I could think of. If it's not one, it's the other.
Right. And then the other example down here is null. Remember that you check a null operator with the is null. So you can just say if it is null, which means if it is empty. Okay. The next thing we're going to look at is basic loops. And we're going to look at these without really doing records, because loops become important when we get to the cursor, where we're processing a group of records. And the cursor, what the cursor does for us is it provides us with a collection of records that meet certain criteria that we specify. And then the loop will let us loop through that collection of records. So the loop is critical when you have a cursor, but it doesn't have a lot of meaning when you're just extracting one record. So I did a bunch of things to just show you the structure of the loop. So I made up a table called record number, counter, and data in, and I didn't even use all three fields that I made up there. Okay, so the first kind of loop is you can say loop, the word loop, and then you put the code you want to process, and then you can say exit, which can include a when condition. So I can say exit when something has happened. And note there can be multiple exit statements. So if we look down at the code that I wrote, I have something here where I defined a record number and I defined a counter. And I gave the record number an initial value of 1. And notice the assignment sign there is assigning initial values to these. So I said, the record number, it is of the type of record number in the table called test loop, and it is going to start with 1. And the counter is of the type of counter in the test loop table, and it is starting with 100. And then I said, insert into test loop record number counter. So I never used the third field, whatever that one was, I don't remember, but I never used it. If I go back and look at the table. Data in? Okay, so I never used data in. So then I said, okay, do a loop. And I said, insert inside the loop. And I'm only using the two fields, record number and counter. And I put in the values, the record number, the counter. So obviously the first one's going to be 1 in 100. And you can see it down there. And then the rest of my processing was, okay, now add 1 to record number and add 10 to counter. If the record number is greater than 5, exit. Okay, and that's the end of the if. I loop back, I insert another record that is going to now be 2 and 110. Record number is not greater than 5, so I continue on. So basically, I'm starting out, and I have record number, and I have counter. And I'm starting them at 1 in 100. And as I go through, they become 2 and 110. And then they become 3 and 120. And each time after I add, I check and see if record number is greater than 5. It's not. So I go through the loop again, and it becomes 130. And is record number greater than 5? No. So I get 5 and 140. And is record number greater than 5? No, then insert. so every time I go back, I insert, so I just wrote the 5, 140, and I add 1, so I become 6, and 150 is record number greater than 5, yes it is, so I exit. So I just went through the loop, okay, all over. Then, because I wanted to use this table again, I went in and deleted everything from the table. So I said delete from test loop, and it said 5 rows deleted. Okay. So then I went in and on this one, I used the when. So if you go back up there, I didn't use the when with the exit. I just had an if statement. And if that was true, then I exited. Now I'm doing exactly the same thing, but I am using the when. So I'm saying exit when V record number is greater than 5. So I can have an exit when, and that avoided having to use the if statement. Okay. And again, I went in and deleted, but I didn't show you that this time. Okay. And this time I set the initial to, well, that's a nice output with the record number and the counter is not over, but that's all right. Obviously, the output should have been the 6 and the 100. Notice in the loop, I did the insert first. So I did the insert before I did the checking. So I did it even when the record number was 6. I inserted the 6 and the 100. And then I added and went up to 7 and 110. And then I exit because I'm greater than 5. Okay? So if you don't want that to happen, then you have to put the control higher up and the insert lower down or something on that order. Because you, by having the insert as the first thing that's done, I'm going to do an insert. It's kind of like the loops where I'm checking at the end, so I will always process once. Okay. And if I had the exit up at the top and said exit when V record number is greater than 5, then I wouldn't do it. And on this one, I used an if and said, okay, if the record number is less than 6, then do the insert. The loop that I like the best is the while loop, and that's the one that's coming up. And this is while condition loop, and it's much more kind of a just standard. I'm not real fond of the exit kind of code, and most people that do programming are not terribly fond of exits that send you out of the loop maybe halfway through or something like that. The preference is not to have that. So this one says while V record number is less than 6. So I've got my condition right up front. And I go in then and do the same thing that I've been doing all along. But I'll keep doing it while V record number is less than 6. Actually, I had never thought of that. Mm. They all say end loop, so I guess I just was happy with end loop.
Yeah. It's got the loop in there too, so it's while. It's
yeah. It's got the while, so and the word loop is over there.
So you need to have the loop.
Yes.
Like loop. So is the end loop equivalent to like a go-to, like going back to the top of the loop?
Right? It's just shows you the end. I mean, there are two styles of loops in programming. One is the start of the loop, whatever it is, and then the end loop. But that tells you that your code is inside you. And the other one is you have the loop, and you put the code inside the curly braces. But you need something to tell you when the code is no longer associated with the loop. And if you've got this style, the curly brace tells you that the closed curly brace tells you that it's done. In this style, you have some kind of an end. And those are the two kind of basic styles that you find in programming. In some languages, Visual Basic, for example, uses the first one. C uses the second one. C, Java, PHP, JavaScript all use the curly bracket one. I think Java does. I know C does. And then other languages, Visual Basic being the one I can think of easily, uses the end statement. And this PLSQL uses the end statement.
What happens if you do a loop and you don't put any condition to get out of it? Just execute forever.
Basic things that I always say about a loop is you need three things. When you have a loop, you need one to set the control. Whatever it is that you're going to test is the control. So you need to set the control. You need to check the control. And you need to change the control. Because if you don't change it, you'll go on forever. As I said, when I was a early programmer, I had my embarrassing moment when the guy came out from the print area. We had big mainframes back then, and there was a big print area, and he came out with a pile of paper this big and said, "Did you really want to have this person's name written this many times on this many pieces of paper?" Well, no. And the only reason it stopped is he ran out of paper. And so, I had my embarrassing moment there.
That just happened to Sol's student.
Oh, really?
He overflowed our CIS web because he had a forever loop.
Okay.
Our memory just, all our room, just, we had a loop.
That's right.
During the weekend, and Eric found that file, huge file.
Yep.
That's a question.
Yeah.
Maybe if I break it, we don't have any homework.
So there's the set, and I set the record number equal to one right there. There's the check, and when I add one, that's the change. And every loop has a set. This is done prior to enter. And the other two things are done with it. And that's what you have to, a good, well-developed loop is going to have those three things. Prior to entering, you set the control, and then the check is usually associated with something like the while, and the check can be either above or below. It can be, if the check is first, then that means you may not enter the loop. If the check is at the bottom, it means you'll always do the loop once. Okay? And then the change has to happen inside the loop. And that's the thing that people tend to forget to do, is the change. And if you don't change it, it will stay one forever, and the loop doesn't stop until it is no longer less than six. And so you fill memory or use up all the paper or whatever it is.
So if you execute a command that has an endless loop, do you use the control C to terminate it?
I believe so. I think.
Control
C,
or is it control Z?
I thought it was. Okay, maybe it's
I don't know.
I honestly don't know either.
I You just keep hitting things until you
pay attention. It goes away. That's right.
Escape.
Escape, maybe. I was in control C.
Okay, and then the one below, I set it to 6, and it didn't enter the loop at all. There were no records, therefore. Because since I set it to 6, and my control is say do it while it's less than 6, it never entered the loop. Never entered the loop, therefore it never did an insert, therefore the file is empty. Because I keep cleaning out the file between each of these examples. And then you have the for loop. And the for loop is a little different in structure than it is in other languages. So here I said for I, and for some reason I always use I in for loops, as does the rest of the world, I think. For I in 1 to 5. So that means for I as it ranges from 1 to 5. The lower bound and the upper bound. So for I in 1 to 5 means I will start at 1 and go up to 5. And it will be incremented by 1 inside.
So you don't have to define, it says it's implicitly declared integer.
Yes.
You have to define that.
So I doesn't have to be defined. And again, that's true in almost all the languages I can think of, or all the languages I can think of. Is that the for statement does the definition of it and contains the parameters in one way or another. Usually it has... So this one is telling you where the top is and where the bottom is. And this one also lets you reverse. So if you do the reverse, and it says up there the lower bound and upper bound are reversed. So here, no, that one is the next one, I must be. Okay, so this is where I am using variable names. So I said for I in V lower to V upper, and I set the numbers externally. And then the last one is doing the reverse. So I said I in reverse, and... It then basically goes from the upper down to the lower. So I in reverse goes from the upper down to the lower. Okay, so we have looked at the basics of loops now and the basics of ifs. And those are the reasons why we want PLSQL, is to give us that ability. And the main thing we want to do with